Let me speak to our political commentator, Alex Kane. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Alex, is this proof that the Prime Minister sees us as a backwater, if she sees us at all?
I don't think it is, actually. I think it was inevitable that there was going to be an election. She needed the personal mandate. She needed a majority because she has problems inside in Westminster, some rebellious backbenchers. She's got a very, knockabout house and so on. Some European leaders, Juncker and Tusk, had both said, well, what authority does the Prime Minister have? She needed to be able to say, I'm speaking on behalf of the United Kingdom in these negotiations. The fact that Northern Ireland, she may have put this off, we don't know, she may have put this decision off, she may have wanted to make it a couple of weeks ago when the polls first began to show that she was getting huge traction. She may have delayed it simply because she thought it would queer the pitch in terms of Northern Ireland. There's no sense that that's going to be solved anytime soon, Frank. She had to make the call, so I don't think it was a decision that would stuff Northern Ireland. I think she just thought, I can't keep putting it off because of Northern Ireland.
It certainly hasn't done Northern Ireland any good.
Well, it's one of those strange things, Frank. What would? Because, even though there hadn't been a general election, even if there hadn't been what is going to be a fairly polarising general election across the entire United Kingdom on, the wash-up from the Brexit vote, we have no sign in Northern Ireland through the DUP, from Sinn Féin, from any of the smaller parties, that there's any likelihood of a breakthrough. It's very, very snail-like pace. So even if everything else on the political horizon in the United Kingdom was hunky-dory and we'd voted to stay in the European Union, all of that had happened, I still think we'd be sitting here with it's really steeples territory, Frank. We always find another reason for not quite being able to cut the deal at this particular time.
You see the pacts forming, certainly the Unionist pact forming?
I think that too is inevitable. Bearing in mind that the Ulster Unionists won, they got two seats back, and you had Danny Kinahan on earlier, and Danny's right, there wasn't a packed seat there. He won with a very, very slim, I think it was around a few hundred votes or something like it, very tight for him there. Tom Elliott only won because of the pact. So yes, I think if Robin Swan, who wouldn't have wanted to have to make this decision this early, wants to keep a seat, even the chance of keeping that one seat, then he needs a pact, because the other thing about Danny Kinahan, which is worth bearing in mind, I think Danny probably won, no disrespect to William McRae, I think Danny probably won because he represented a newer, fresher face of unionism, and Willie was still seen as very old, fundamentalist DUP. The DUP, if there isn't a pact, they'll be putting up a tougher candidate there for Danny, so Robin Swan needs to make sure that he has some chance. He does not want his first election to be the leader who lost both their seats in the House of Commons.
Any possibility whatsoever of some form of deal between the SDLP and Sinn Féin in Fermanagh South Tyrone?
I think that's very unlikely. If we go back to 2010, I think it was the general election then, the Sinn Féin made a decision. They talked about the possibility of a pact with the SDLP, one that didn't materialise, but they made the decision not to stand in South Belfast, which of course helped Alistair MacDonald. If there's a pact, I don't think there'll be a formal pact between Sinn Féin and the SDLP for all sorts of reasons. But again, if it looks like Alistair's coming under pressure from a unionist pact in Belfast, which I think is likely, it's up to Sinn Féin. They may make the call. They have no chance of winning the seat by themselves, even if there was someone like Martina Mueller up. They have no chance whatsoever. It may suit their interests to make sure that the nationalist overall vote and seat count doesn't go down. But I think somebody said earlier in your programme, I can't remember who it was, about in terms of Fermanagh South Tyrone, that'll work itself out. The SDLP voters very quietly, in the same way that unionists do elsewhere, without the need for a formal pact, they will go where their instinct takes them in terms of preserving the seat.
And do you see any hope on the horizon from the local perspective? Because we're going to have this legislation coming through to collect the rates from Westminster. And the knock-on effect from that will be other examples of direct rule. If there isn't an election to the Assembly, it's highly unlikely that there will be. Or, of course, they might get things sorted out, which is also highly unlikely at this present moment in time. Are you a man of optimism, Alex? I don't think you are.
Don't be ridiculous, Frank. My whole career is built on being the whingy ghost at the feast. No, I think in this case, I live in hope, Frank. It's one of those strange things. I really do live in hope, because quite often I look at something, you think, yeah, that could be done. It needs a little move here, a little move there. And the parties will tell you. They'll tell you privately. They'll phone you and say, oh, absolutely right, Alex. There's no reason this couldn't be done. And then suddenly out of nowhere, they've come up with yet another problem. So that goes back to the whole issue of which I've talked with you about on a number of occasions. Is consensual, credible, agreed government in Northern Ireland, you know, between the unionism and republicanism, actually sustainable in the long run. And the conclusion I think I reached some time ago, and I think which more and more people are also reaching, is that it's not, yeah, well, it's possible we'll get a sticking plaster, which I think we will. It may now be pushed towards autumn for a general or for an assembly election. We'll come up with some sort of deal. But if you're asking, Alex, will it be a deal that sticks? Will it be a deal that avoids further crises and walkouts and standoffs and bad tempers and on-the-cliff negotiations? No, it won't. And that's what worries me, that there's something, the sense of no, among all people in Northern Ireland, both in the political parties and wider, is what's the point? What's the point of doing this? Because it's never going to work anyway. And that should worry all of us, because once that feeds in to the general population that the political centre is not capable of working, it leads to other sort of socio-economic and, dare I say, problems of violence on the streets further down the line.
Is there a suggestion there there'll be apathy going towards the election?
Well, you have this strange thing. I think there won't be apathy in England, Scotland and Wales, I think, because it's a very specific Brexit thing. This is not a general election we're talking about, Frank. We're talking about a wash-up of the referendum. May wants a strong hand to deal with it. Other parties want to make sure they're not left behind. In Northern Ireland, a few weeks ago, we had the highest turnout we've had since the 98 Assembly election. Very good turnout. A sense people that, yes, they're getting engaged. Yes, yes, let's get out of it. People who hadn't voted for years, first-time voters. Yes, we're playing our part. And here they are, what is it, nine weeks later or something like that, going, hang on, where's the government we voted for? I would be a little concerned that some of those people, outside the normal political voting activists who always vote, and we can always count for around 52-54%, but that other 10-11-12% who came in a few weeks ago, they might go, what's the point, we voted, you've done nothing, and we're told that we're having this general election and we may have another assembly election a few weeks later. That's where the apathy creeps in. It's not that people are disinterested, Frank, because they're not. You'll know this, go to any pub, any bar, any dinner party, any supermarket, any corner bus stop conversation, people talk politics. The apathy is based on the fact that they think, well, even if we vote, even if we say we want this, even if an opinion poll indicates that, should the parties do nothing? That's where the apathy creeps in. So we may find in Northern Ireland there could be, even with all this trying to polarise us into, oh, it's orange versus green, oh, this is really vital for the unionists to restore themselves, Republicans, oh, we're nearly the United Ireland, I still think an awful lot of people go, what is the point?
Finally, Alex, is this the example of Jeremy Corbyn and Labour being wiped off the face of the earth?
Well, obviously, in a sense, I was writing the piece earlier today, all elections are based on the old Machiavellian principle. You hit your opponent when they're weak. So she's going for both. Theresa May is going for both Labour, but she's also going for UKIP as well. She wants them off the scene because she's other things she needs to do. But set against all that, Corbyn, there's a sort of almost a fanaticism in terms of some of Corbyn's support. And if you look, what could happen here, Frank? The Conservatives can build up. It's like if you look back at the 1992 general election, which John Major was expected to lose. All the opinion polls said he was going to lose. He ended up as the Conservative Prime Minister with the biggest ever number of votes. The problem is, he built them all up in safe Conservative seats. So yes, Theresa May can do very well, extraordinarily well. She could probably put on another 1-2 million votes, but she's going to be putting them on in seats that she already holds. The only way she destroys Corbyn, and he's very cleverly left all his sitting MPs, he said they will all be renominated, reselected. She has to start winning those seats from him. That is, whatever the opinion polls say about in terms of support, that's still a hugely difficult job for her to do, because it's a 7-week campaign. The opinion polls will come down. She's going to be pushed on Brexit. People are going to say, hang on, Prime Minister, what exactly do you mean? And when all of those factors come in, Frank, she may find that. An opinion poll today said she would have a majority of 140 seats. I really, really cannot see that happening. I think this will become a much tighter. I think she'll win. I think it'll be a reasonably comfortable win for her. But I don't think, if this is about destroying the Labour Party, I don't think we're at that stage. I don't think we could call it anywhere close to that yet.
Okay, Alex, thank you very much indeed.